on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Tuesday, October 15th, 2024 edition of Invest Talk, and we are powering through the final quarter of the year and headed towards the election just a few weeks away. And markets are shifting. You know, we had some good strength last week and into yesterday, but today we saw some weakness. Now, is this a harbinger of things to come, or is this just a blip in today's market? And so we'll talk about this and many more topics during this hour. Now, I'm Justin Klein, and our objective here each and every weekday is help you achieve your own version of financial freedom by helping you take that next step, and then the next step, and the next step. It's about walking with you. And we're here to assist. We're here to help in any way. And we do that mainly by answering your finance and investment questions. But we do also bring topics to the table that we think are important to discuss and go over that you can hopefully implement in your investments journey and your financial journey in general. There's a lot that's about investing, but you know, personal finance tips and just mindset overall would be the most important aspect that can help you become a better investor. You have to shed the bad habits that the average investor has, which is chasing headlines, chasing performance, and not focusing on the fundamentals of the asset that they're holding. Whether that's real estate, stocks, bonds, whatever that is, the fundamentals at the end of the day play out. And you want to be in assets that have strong fundamentals and bring value to those that utilize that asset. Okay. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the next hour. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi, Dave from Ohio. You got a question on Woodside Energy, WDS is a symbol, and it's a $32 billion market cap. See what your thoughts are and if it would be a good long-term hold. Thank you.
All right, looking at Woodside Energy, WDS is the symbol. It is a $31 billion market cap, so pretty large. Earnings are declining. However, you know, in the industry in general, earnings are in decline. That's what happens when oil prices are down. Now, what you're probably looking at, though, is that nice, juicy 7.63% dividend yield. And as I constantly say, don't chase the yield. And this is a perfect example of that. Payout ratio is 142%. It's cash dividend payout ratio, meaning the percentage that it's paying out of a dividend of its cash flow is 792%. So it's paying out nearly seven times the amount of its cash flow in dividend. Is that sustainable? Is that dividend coming from anything that is sustainable? No, because the only way to pay that dividend over a long period of time is to increase their debt level. And that's what they've done recently. Debt has gone from $4.8 billion all the way up to $5.8 billion. They've added $1 billion in debt in just a couple of quarters. That is not good. That is not sustainable. Now, is Woodside a bad company? No, I mean, they're still profitable. Free cash flow is still profitable, still positive. But if you look at its profitability longer term, zoom out long term, its return on equity is mid to high single digits on average over the last decade or two. That's not great. That's not great. And Well, I think they can pay the dividend kind of near term because they have a pretty decent balance sheet. And that's not sustainable. It's not the type of business that you want to invest in. Okay. So I just think there's a lot better opportunities out there in the oil space. Yes, they don't pay a 7.6. Yeah, they don't pay a 7.6% dividend yield, but they have better profitability, a better earnings trajectory. You're looking at Woodside at negative 5% earnings growth this year, negative 32% expected earnings growth next year. Let's compare that to just, I'm just pulling up Exxon because it's the biggest within the space, right? Earnings are supposed to be down 16% this year, but it's just a bounce back up 2% next year. So very different earnings trajectory. And you think a smaller company would have better earnings growth versus the mega name like Exxon, and you'd be wrong. And so I think you are chasing yield here, and there are much better opportunities out there. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and our main focus point is about the 2025 Social Security COLA announced raise, what retirees need to know. And there are other adjustments as well to Social Security, mainly how much money you can make while you're still collecting Social Security and not get docked. Okay? So we'll talk about the smallest increase in Social Security since 2021. Now, I also have voice bank questions in regards to rollover IRAs as well as B2 Gold. I also have topics such as the China stimulus that I'll get to. How sustainable or how effective will the stimulus be? And then the manufacturing in the Sun Belt. There's a lot of money headed towards that part of the economy. And so we'll look at that story as well. But ultimately, it's about your questions. Your live calls are a number one. So we encourage you to call as soon as possible. Get your questions in. But we are going to a short break. And on the other side, I will talk about today's market activity and take your questions on the Invest Talk Anytime listener line. As always, that's 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
This is Nick from Seattle.
Hey, this is Steve out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Could you comment on Barrick Gold? G-O-L-D.
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
Be patient. Don't rush into anything. Understand what you own.
I would probably trim here, but I don't see any reason why you'd want to sell out of it.
Voice bank calls are very important, but so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the Invest Talk live stream.
Let's pivot over to a live call. We love those.
Looks like we got our first live call. I love live calls.
It's good. If you've never called, what are you waiting for?
Let's go take another live call.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little.
It's like we got a live call.
Call Invest Talk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I appreciate the advice.
888-99-CHART. It's official. We've now crossed over the 59 million download mark. Invest Talk. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a look at the market today. It was certainly a down day overall for investors. You had the S&P that was down 44 points, so about two-thirds of 1%. And it was pretty much selling throughout, and there's pretty good volume, to be honest with you. So this was a very interesting day, at least the most interesting red day we've had in a while. We've had little blips here and there, but this was above average volume. You're talking about higher volume than the last basically 2 weeks, all of the last 2 weeks. And so that is something that I will continue to be monitoring. Do we get follow through to the downside? Now, a big driver of this downside was a report from ASML. They are a semiconductor chip manufacturing, chip equipment, excuse me, company. And they talked about bookings being way down. So you know, is that a telltale sign for the future of the chip market? I'm talking about future. I'm talking about, you know, more medium term, not necessarily long term. But, you know, is the slowdown in chip demand here, right, with so much capacity built during the chip shortage and the demand for all these physical goods during COVID, and then you had the AI craze, just so much capacity has been built up. Now, the history of the semiconductor space is over capacity, over supply. Because what happens is they want to deliver the goods to their end user, right? The product manufacturer. And what happens is at some point, the product manufacturers slow and that feeds into orders. And then suddenly all these chip producers have just too much capacity. And a lot of those chip makers have to sell at smaller margins. And so that's the history of the boom and bust cycle of the chip space. Now, we've been on an extended boom cycle. So does that mean there's could this mean there is a lot of overcapacity in the space that needs to come off and then, you know, margins get hit? I think that certainly could be the case. I will be watching for this, but that was really the driver of today's sell-off. And large cap growth was certainly down the most. NVIDIA down 4.7%. Let's see what else. And NIO was down 3%. Intel down 3%. You had Trump Media down 9.6%. Let's see, what were some other big losers here? Yeah, ASML was down 16%. Lam Research down 11%. Applied Materials down over 10%. So a lot of the chip producers, KLA Tencor, also down 14.7%. So just so many companies that are in that chip manufacturing space that are starting to weaken. And that was really the story for today. You continue to have gold was up once again. So that just continues to power higher. You did have oil down as well on a report that Israel won't strike Iran aggressively. And that lowered the chance of a major escalation of issues in the Middle East. And so that really pushed energy down. And that was also a driver to the downside. But if you look at, you know, certain subsectors of the markets, there was still some strength. Utilities were up a bit. Let's see, consumer staples, those were up a bit. You had the bonds rallied a bit as well and kind of a flight to safety. So once again, will this be followed through? Is it just a blip headline and then tomorrow the market forgets about it and we just kind of continue to grind higher? That's certainly possible. We do have the election coming up, so potentially throw some cold water on the market depending on the potential outcome. Continues to be, I think, the increasing expectation that Trump will win. That just seems to be the odds are moving in that direction. The market is starting to price that in a bit, but we still have some ways to go and we'll see what happens there. But that was the market today. First significant red day in a while. Now, I hope you're telling your friends that our podcast is available in video form, which you can find every day over on our Invest Talk YouTube channel. And we get questions submitted via the comment section over there. And JG109426 says, "Hello, guys. I would like your thoughts on ETF QQQM, QQQM. And to me, this just looks like the Qs, okay? You're talking, but it's coming from Invesco. Let me pull this up here. Oh, QQQM. I'm not sure what's the difference here. Oh, okay. This is interesting. It pulls. No, that's not true either. I don't know the difference between QQQ and QQQM. I really don't. If you can give me some color on this, I've never heard of this. It must be relatively new. They're both by Invesco. Overall, I just don't want exposure to be overly exposed to mega cap tech. It's just starting to get weak. It's broadly pretty expensive. And so I'm not sure the difference between the Qs and QQQM, but either way, they both hold pretty much the same position. So I would not be owning QQQM. Now we're moving to a break, still to come in this podcast and radio show on AM 1220. I will tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to the main focus point. So stay with me, but give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my main focus point concerns this topic, the 2025 Social Security COLA adjustment, what retirees need to know. And I touched on this a bit last week. But there are two major positive changes coming to retirees in January. Now, the first is the COLA adjustment. We talked about it being 2.5% for 2025. So whatever your Social Security check is today, it will go up by 2.5% in the new year. Now, we know that most retirees, their actual cost of living doesn't go up quite as much as the overall the average person, right? The average worker, just based on the mix of the types of goods and services that they utilize. Okay. And so this 2.5% is nice. Now it is down from the 3.2% growth that they saw this year from last year's check. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when inflation remains flat or goes down, Social Security stays the same. So you never get Social Security cut, but it does go up with COLA. So that 2.5% will be nice, and the smallest raise, since the COVID crisis. Now, the next positive thing is higher earner test or earnings test. And I don't know if you know this, but you're allowed to work and collect Social Security at the same time. But if you do so before full retirement age, right, you take Social Security at 62, 63, which you probably should, few people should probably do, right? You want to probably wait to your full retirement age. But let's say you are taking Social Security early and you could earn too much money and have some of your Social Security benefits withheld. Now, what you have to understand is it is withheld and you will get it back later. So it's not like you're missing, you're not getting it at all. But you do get it withheld in the near term. Now, in 2025, you'll get a little bit more leeway. You can earn up to $23,400 without having benefits withheld. That's up from $22,320 in 2024 this year. Now, when you go over that number, $23,400 next year or $22,320 this year, for every $2 you earn, you actually get docked $1 in Social Security or will get it withheld. Excuse me. Now, if you reach full retirement age and you're still working, you have a higher earnings limit, test limit. Okay. So there's a different one between when you're younger, when you're below full retirement age, and then once you hit that full retirement age. So that number is going to go from $59,520 this year to $62,160 next year. And when you reach full retirement age, it's not 2-for-1, it's actually 3-for-1. So every $3 you earn over that number, you get $1 withheld. So that's a nice positive that you have a little bit extra cushion, especially those that work a little bit in retirement. More and more people are doing that because, you know, they feel still useful. They still want things to do when they get up, to move around. And frankly, the studies show that, you know, it helps with longevity. It keeps your mind engaged, your body engaged. And for a lot of people, it's very, very helpful. But they oftentimes don't want to work jobs that push them over these limits. And the good thing is, those limits are going up a bit next year based on that cost of living adjustment. Now let's talk a bit. Actually, let's pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank. You know the number, it's 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys, this is Trent from Long Beach. I have a question for Justin. Hey, Justin, I'm getting closer to the minimum amount that is required by you guys to invest with you guys. And I'm looking for some details on a company. It's a gold company called symbol BTG. It's B2 Gold. They have a great dividend, so I'm trying to find out if it's worth getting more shares of stock from that company. Thank you.
All right, looking at B2 Gold, BTG is the symbol. And this is a small cap name, $4.2 billion market cap. They do have about a 5% dividend yield. This has been one of the largest dividend payers if in the gold mining space for a long time. And that it's not necessarily terrible or good. As I've said earlier in the show and before, you don't want to chase that dividend. Now, if you took a return on equity longer term, it does tend to be higher than the industry average. So I like that. That's positive. And if you look at the chart trend, it is now in an uptrend. I like that. Earnings this year are supposed to be down 9%, but up 59%. Okay. And I think that's my biggest worry is that, you know, if you look at the Newmonts of the world, the Agnico Ecos of the world, their earnings are going up dramatically this year. And their relative strength is in the 90s, whereas B2 Gold, you're at 56. So I don't think it's bad. It's not a bad miner to own. It has decent long-term performance. But I don't, even though it's an uptrend, I don't like the relative performance to the broader sector. If I do a ratio of BTG to GDX, which is GDX is kind of the large cap miners out there, the ETF, it's flattened out. It's basically been in line with GDX since May. That's somewhat of a positive, but historically it's been in a major downtrend. Now, part of that is the dividend, right? So I'm looking at price only. So I don't hate it, but I think there are better miners out there. This isn't the worst one. You know, there's spectrums to this. It's not black or white. This is in that gray area, and it's in an area that I just think you have better opportunities. Now, if you already own a bunch and you want to add a bit of more diversity, smaller name, this is not a bad one to own, but I wouldn't buy it just because it's paying some dividend, okay? Thanks for the call. Now, the next Invest Talk, the story behind this headline. The ongoing Boeing workers' strike has cost the company and the U.S. economy an estimated $5 billion, while both sides struggle over wage increases and working conditions. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a live call. We love these live calls, and it is coming from Armando down in Miami, looking at Pitney Bowes. Pitney Bowes, do you own it or looking to buy it, and what do you like about it?
I actually own it. I'm up about 40%, but it's about 3% of my portfolio. I'm wondering if I should just take the money and move on to something else or keep holding on.
Well, there's two sides to this. The technicals look fine. It moved up back in August from $5, called $5.50 or so, hit a high around $7.50, and it's been kind of consolidating right around $7 since. It closed at $6.96 today. So from a technical perspective, it's just fine. Relative strength is 94. I have no issue with it. Now, that's probably because earnings are expected to go up to from 4 cents last year to 36 cents this year and up to 97 cents next year. So if it's growing that dramatically, its profits that dramatically, and it's supposed to earn nearly a dollar, you're talking about a 7 multiple for something that's growing, that's pretty good, okay? The issue I have, however, is its balance sheet does have a good amount of debt. Its free cash flow is not that great. And I think there's just a lot of issues, you know, kind of with the business. Now, for everyone out there, what they do is they manufacture postage meters and mailing equipment and mailroom management software and services. Okay, so there's certainly aspects to that business that, you know, are in secular decline, shall we say. And so that's what would make me say be ready to trim, be ready to potentially exit the position. But the technicals aren't really lining up. You know, like I said, it's just been consolidating here around $7 per share. And that is a positive. You know, when something moves up and it consolidates sideways, that is just gaining power to go keep, you know, have a continuation move. And so that's why I probably wouldn't say sell it, because the technicals look fairly strong. Now, could you trim it here? Maybe a little bit. But I would have an out, and on the daily, that would be the 100-day moving average. So as long as it stays above the 100-day moving average, I would just continue to hold it.
Okay. I'll do that then.
Thanks for the call, Armando. That was Pitney Bowes, B-O-W-E-S. Symbol is P-B-I. Let's talk a bit about the China stimulus effort. And this is kind of the big story over the past couple of weeks. And China's economy has been sinking deeper and deeper into malaise for the last number of years, kind of since COVID, even since they released themselves from the zero COVID policy and all of that. And finally, Xi Jinping ordered a ton of interest rate cuts as well as other measures to put a floor under their growth. And I'll start off with saying my end conclusion to this is important to policy going forward, but mainly because it draws a line in the sand that the Chinese authorities are not going to allow the economy to just continue its malaise and stay well below the expected or target growth rate. Okay. Now, what this is designed to do, however, is more avoid a crisis than really spark big growth. And remember, the Chinese Communist Party has a contract basically with their constituents, which is, it will make you wealthy and you allow us to remain in control. And if there is some sort of crisis, financial crisis, similar to like an 08 version, then that may be called into jeopardy, right? So in many ways, this was a bailout, very similar to what we did with the big banks back in 08. Is underpin the system with a backstop and bail out not the big banks, but mainly the Chinese municipalities. And many of them have been on the brink of collapse because they had been, their debt levels were driven by the sale of land to build property. And when the property sector is in a secular decline like it is now, there's just not a whole lot of ways for these governments to sustain themselves. And so that's what this is really about. Fending off a brewing financial crisis. De-risking the overall economy. Now, initially, markets loved it. Lower interest rates, as well as other measures that would boost the stock market. But since then, there have been press conference. Another one recently that was relatively lackluster, didn't really give a lot of details. And so the market has been volatile since. And so the idea here, or the thought process here, is that this is a shift that is more tactical than strategic. Once again, providing liquidity for the local governments as opposed to really giving true stimulus to the overall economy. Yes, getting those local governments is important, or liquidity important, but it's not the end-all be-all. And they're encouraging brokerage firms, insurers, listed companies to tap the central bank or commercial bank funding to finance stock buybacks. So they want to excite the stock market as well, get those animal spirits going. Now, a lot of people feel like they're missing out, but if you look back in history, this has happened before. 2015. And there was an ensuing frenzy for stocks. And what happened? Well, it just rolled back over in late 2015. So the first 6 months of 2015, equities did really well in China, and then it eventually rolled over because there wasn't that underpinning of the real economy. And I think that's the issue here, is what is this really going to do for the economy to spark growth? Yes, staving off a crisis is important, but it's not the end-all be-all. Growth also is part of their mandate, part of the thing, part of the promise to their constituents is that they will continue to grow the economy and grow their wealth. They did a pretty good job of that, but with its own set of problems, and those problems are coming home to roost right now. So as of late, you know, it's an interesting story, but there's not a whole lot of bite behind this bark. The Chinese Central Bank, the Chinese Communist Party, they are barking loudly. But because of this volatility and not a lot of details, it's pretty clear that this doesn't have as much substance as a lot of people are hoping. And so I wanted you to be aware of that and kind of where that whole situation stands, because you may chase performance, but ultimately, what is the fundamentals of the overall economy? And that continues to be very weak. Now, this is InvestTalk. Now, let's swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier on 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Luke, Justin. Great show. I'm calling you from Southern California with a question about my rollover IRA. I'm retired and I'm 60-plus, and I would like to start pulling money out slowly over the next few years instead of all at once to avoid a big tax bill. My taxes will definitely be higher down the line. Am I a candidate for a backdoor Roth? Any help on this would be great. Thank you.
What I think you were talking about is not a backdoor Roth. It is a Roth conversion. And you are in the sweet spot. You just retired. I'm not sure your age. I don't think he mentioned his age. But you just retired, not earning any income. Okay, when you do a backdoor Roth, you have to have income, earned income. Okay. Now, backdoor Roth is when you put money into an IRA and then you immediately convert it. Okay. But even to do that, you need some sort of income. Okay. To qualify. Talking about earned income from a job of some sort. You're retired, though, and you can do Roth conversions because you don't have a lot of income and you're probably in a low tax bracket. So there's a level that you want to convert a certain amount of money to stay below a certain tax bracket. Now, this is something we do for clients, which is do Roth conversion strategy in order to maximize the amount that goes into that Roth IRA at a low tax rate. We can kind of cap it at a certain level depending on, you know, everyone's situation. But it also looks at your broader situation. You know, what are your other investments? What type of earnings are those likely to have? Et cetera. Do you have a pension? What about Social Security? What about all these things that play into that? So this is probably something you want to talk to either CPA, most likely a financial advisor like us that would develop a financial plan, look at your whole picture, and then recommend a certain amount of Roth conversions each year before you hit your RMDs, okay? And especially before you hit Social Security. Now let's play two in a row whenever possible. Let's do that now.
Hey guys, this is Art from Tucson, calling in today after exploring some small and mid-cap value stocks. Found one that looks pretty interesting, Builders FirstSource, BLDR. wondering what you think about it and if it's at a good price point to buy. I'll listen to your answer on the podcast. Thanks for all you do.
All right, looking at Builders First Choice, the manufacturer of structural and related building products for residential new construction in the United States. And this is a name that business boomed post-COVID. They earned $2.08 in 2019. Last year, they earned $14.59. That's down from $18.71 the year before that in 2022. This year, it's supposed to earn $11.19, down 23%. But earnings are supposed to stabilize next year to around $12. Now, if they stabilize around $12, that $192, $95 per share right now, that's decent, right? It's a decent multiple. I think that's fine. The problem is, where's equilibrium lie? Now, I like it. I like this company. Let me give you that clearly. It is a good quality name with good profitability. But where does the earnings kind of level out at? It's the analysts are saying $12, but is it really? Okay. And I think that's the big question. Now, free cash flow right now is $1.6 billion, but that's down from $3.6 billion in the second quarter of 2023. But the current enterprise value is $26 billion. So pretty good free cash flow yield there. Return equity is 30%, but the profitability is coming down. Return equity was 55%. Now it's at 30%. And the technicals, they're okay. But you're not making new highs. Whereas if you look at like the ITB, which is the home construction index, which is a good proxy, right? Because they sell to home builders. That is near an all-time high. Okay. So I worry a bit about that relative performance. So it's a name that's actually in the database of names that we've been looking at, but it hasn't risen to the level in the industrial space of us to buy it quite yet. So I like it. It's just there's a lot of hesitation from where the ultimate earnings level out at. And that's why I would hold off on it and see if you can have a better technical setup, better earnings setup, as opposed to kind of continued deceleration of down 33% from its all-time high in earnings. Okay. Thanks for the call. Now, 2024 is moving fast, and proof is that we are in the fourth quarter. Just 10, 11 weeks left in the year. Yeah, can you believe that? It's moving fast, and soon we'll be in 2025. And the big question is, are your strategies fit for this particular market, this new environment of higher interest rates, higher inflation? What risks do you have in your portfolio? Are they aligned with your risk tolerance levels? Is your overall strategy aligned with the market trends? These are things that we address in our free portfolio review assessments, which you can schedule by heading over to investtalk.com. That will create a Zoom meeting link, and then we will jump on. I will analyze your portfolio. Figure out the weightings, whether you're overweight or underweight, the wrong sectors, the wrong asset classes, based on your risk level, based on the market trends, et cetera. And then we also look at your broader financial picture, et cetera. So that's what these portfolio reviews are all about. And we see what changes you should be making. Maybe there's no changes. Maybe you're doing fantastic. Maybe there needs to be a lot of movement here. And this is what we do at our company, my company, KPP Financial, where we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients, and we provide unbiased guidance both on and off air. Here comes another question now.
Yes, I was just wondering if you could say something about like buying a preferred stock. Thank you.
Well, preferreds, I don't love preferreds because they're in the middle of the capital structure here, and what they have is long duration. Remember, preferreds are pretty much indefinite. There's no maturity date. They continue to pay you the interest rate. That's great. But what if interest rates go up and suddenly that yield on your preferred is not as enticing? I don't like that. And so there's a lot of duration risk. That's why if you look at PFF, which is the preferred ETF, it went from 39 in 2022 before 2021 when interest rates bottomed all the way to 28. Okay. Huge drawdown in that name because they're long duration assets. And a lot of people think they're stocks and they think of it as a stock, but they don't have the upside. You don't get the upside if the business does great. You just get your coupon. So you don't get the upside of the common stock, but you also are taking a lot of duration risk, which you don't want in an inflationary environment. So I don't think that preferreds are great assets overall. Can you have a sprinkle of them here and there? That's fine, but definitely don't go overboard on them. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We're heading into our final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
There's another question that came in from the InvestTalk YouTube channel. I would like to get your opinion and analysis on a Brazilian company, Vale, V-A-L-E. I would like to start a small position under 1% in this company. What is a good entry point? Now, this is an interesting one, and this is a good lesson for everyone out there. And this is Vale. It is in a pretty consistent downtrend. And for everyone else out there, this is a company that is in the commodity space, mining and exploration. It's one of the largest in South America. It's a Brazilian company. And it's the world's largest producer of iron ore and pellets. And they sold off fertilizer, coal, steel operations to concentrate mainly on iron ore, nickel, and copper. Those are the main three. Okay. This was as high as during 08, before 08 the crash, it was at $44 per share. It went up in 2011 to $34 per share, but now we're at $10.79 per share. And the issue for this company, they pay a nice dividend. That's nice. Now, one thing you have to understand is that dividend is not, is it quarterly? March? I guess it is. Three times a year, it looks like. Yeah, not quarterly, but three times a year. November, March, and August. Okay, so three times a year. They don't pay quarterly, but they pay three times a year. But it goes up and down. That dividend goes up and down. Why? Because profits go up and down, and the Brazilian currency goes up and down because they're paying mainly in Brazilian real. So that's number one. You're taking a lot of currency risk here. Okay, they're also tied to the Chinese economy. Brazil tends to sell a lot of raw material to the Chinese, to the country of China. And so with China being up and down, Vale's earnings are up and down. And then you have political risk within Brazil that they could just take over some of their assets. It's happened before, right? The political situation in Brazil is relatively fluid. It's volatile. And so there's a reason why it's supposed to earn $2.15 next year and $2.07 this year. And it's trading around $10 and change. So you're talking about a 5 multiple. That sounds cheap. But it is trading at a discount for a reason. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't buy it or own some of it. 1% of your position, your overall portfolio, that's not terrible. Not a ton of risk. But understand why it's cheap. Understand why it's a 12% dividend yield. Because it's cheap because there's a risk that the entire business can be taken over based on political whims. It's cheap because its earnings aren't consistent. It could easily go from making $2 a share this year to losing money next year or the year after. And that dividend paying 12% now can easily be cut. Movements can happen based on the real, right? Currency risk there. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and that is why it's trading at a discount. And then you head over to the chart. It's in a downtrend. It got a bounce because of the Chinese stimulus, but it bounced the 200-day moving average and rolled over again and didn't make a higher high. It made a lower high. So it remains in that downtrend. So until the technicals improve, I see no reason to get in. And a lot of people are going to be enticed by that dividend, enticed by that low P multiple, but it's been at a high dividend yield and low P multiple all year. And it started out the year around $15 per share, and now it's around 10 and change. So it's down 33%. So if you go just based on those factors, you're not in a good place. Okay, so I would not recommend Vale. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And I hope you've heard that the Invest Talk podcast is also available in video form over on our YouTube channel. Just search Invest Talk with 2 T's. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics and calculate your investor risk number by going to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button. This is a free and confidential service. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.